much of what we've heard is from Mary's perspective. And if you've got your Bibles today and you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, and this is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one." And that word favored in that verse means to endue with a special honor. And he said to her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of a greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy." The Son of God. "And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Verse 28, I want to read that again. It says, he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." More than 2,000 years after this amazing event, we in the 21st century, we celebrate it, as we should, but in our celebrations, I believe we often fail to understand the overwhelming burden that God called Mary to carry. In the King James Version, it says that the angel called Mary highly favored. I think I talked about this several months ago, but I dug in and I just started looking at examples of men and women of God that he called favored. And I want to tell you what, having the historical perspective that we have, that we can go back and look, favor is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And I think Mary knew it. If you look closely at the passage we just read from in Luke 1, there doesn't appear to be much celebrating going on in Mary's mind and heart. In verse 29, we read that Mary was greatly troubled. In verse 30, we read that the angel encouraged Mary to not be afraid. She wasn't walking around with a fist pump saying, "Oh yeah, I get to be the mother of the Son of God." She was greatly troubled. Can you imagine the overwhelming burden that she carried? The overwhelming fear that had to have gripped her, and yet her answer to God was, "May it be as you have said." I can't even imagine what that must have been like. And the angel departed from her. That verse doesn't seem to indicate that there was a whole lot of celebrating going on for her. We celebrate Christmas. But that first one was a burden to those who were called upon by God to carry it out. We've heard a lot about Mary's perspective. But what about Joseph's? What about Joseph's perspective? Let's read in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Again, if you would like to turn to it, it's Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. See, if there's something in this verse that jumps out at you, it jumped out at me too. It says he resolved to divorce her quietly, but the Bible says that he was betrothed to her. See, back 2,000 years ago, a betrothal was what we call an engagement. But unlike our culture, when you were betrothed, you might as well have already been to the altar. A betrothal was the signing of the contract. The engagement was if the marriage was inevitable. And so in that culture, even though they were what you and I would call engaged, in Joseph's mind and in the minds of the culture, they were married. And so the only way for him to have ended this agreement would have been for what that culture called a divorce. How loving and how kind must this man have been? We celebrate the role of Mary as we should. But I believe Joseph doesn't get the level of respect that we should give him. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. We heard from Mary's perspective today. And I think it was 8 or 10 years ago, during this Christmas time of the year, that I was really processing, what about Joseph? And I just sat down and I started writing what I could have only imagined to have been Joseph's perspective. And I wrote it down as if he was writing a letter to his mother. Dear Mom, we're still in Bethlehem, Mary and I and little Jesus. There were lots of things I couldn't talk to you about last summer. You wouldn't have believed me then, and I didn't want to disappoint you, but maybe I can tell you now, and I hope you can understand. You know, Mom, that I've always loved Mary. You and Dad used to tease me about her when she was still a girl. She and her brothers used to play on our street. Our families got together for supper. But the hardest day of my life came scarcely a year ago when I was 20 and she was only 15. My guess is that you probably remember that day very well. The trouble started after we were betrothed and signed the marriage agreement at our engagement. That same spring, Mary had left abruptly to visit her older cousin Elizabeth in Judea. She was gone 3 whole months. But after she got back, people started wondering out loud if she were pregnant. It was raining on the day when I finally confronted her with the gossip. "Mary," I asked at last, "are you going to have a baby?" She looked at me in a way that made me know she was. But Mom, I can't even describe the look she gave me. It was a mixture of sadness, confusion, fear, joy, and peace. It was as if she was happier than I had ever seen her before, and yet at the same time, she looked as if she would die with grief. Not knowing what else to say, I asked her, "Who's the father?" She couldn't even look at me, but she managed to say, "Joseph, there's no way I can explain. I'm not even going to try to explain. It would be impossible for you to understand. But Joseph, I want you to know that I've never been with another man and I've never cared for anyone but you." I had to fight against everything in me that wanted to expose her for adultery. I wanted to remind her that I had almost completed the home that we were supposed to live in together as man and wife. I wanted her to know that she had ruined my life and destroyed my plans for our future together. But before I could say any of the things that I had been rehearsing in my mind, she got up, gently took my hands in hers and kissed each of them, and she just turned and walked away. I truly believed that we would never see each other again. She must have been dying inside. I know that I was. Mom, as hard as this is for me to say, and as hard as this will be for you to understand, I want you to believe me. You have to believe me. Mary and I had never acted improperly, even after we were betrothed. I have to tell you something else that only God can help you to believe. Not only did I not do anything improper with Mary, she didn't do anything improper with anyone else. Please withhold your judgment until you hear me out and what I say to you in this letter. After my conversation with Mary, I stumbled through the rest of my day's chores. It's a wonder I didn't hurt myself in the woodshop. At first I was angry and I pounded out my frustrations on the doorframe I was making. My thoughts whirled so fast I could hardly keep my mind on my work. I finally reached the only logical decision I could reach. I decided to just end the marriage contract with a quiet divorce, in spite of the pain and the confusion that I was feeling. I still loved her way too much to make a public scene. I couldn't talk to you. I couldn't talk to anyone, for that matter. I went to bed early and tried to sleep. Her words came to me over and over. "I've never cared for anyone but you. I've never cared for anyone but you." I wanted so much to believe her, but she was pregnant. How could anyone deny that she had been unfaithful to me? It seemed very clear that our marriage covenant meant nothing to her. I don't know when I finally fell asleep, but that was when everything changed, Mom. I had a dream. It was a dream from God. An angel of the Lord came to me. His words filled and gripped my mind so intensely that I can remember them as if they were yesterday. The angel in my dream spoke with such authority that I felt a terrifying level of holy fear and I felt a complete peace all at the same time. This is what the angel said, Mom. "Joseph, son of David," his voice thundered, "do not fear to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Mom, I couldn't believe my ears. This was the answer. The angel continued, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Mom, in the dream, the angel gripped my shoulders with his huge hands. For a long moment, his gaze pierced deep within me. His face shined so brightly that I could barely look at him. But I am sure that I saw him smiling at me. Mom, I sat bolt upright in bed. There was no way I could sleep after that. I paced the floor for hours going over the words in my mind. Then I got up and I dressed quietly so I wouldn't wake you. I have no idea how many miles I walked, but I remember there was no moon that night. It was totally black. I have walked in darkness like that before, and in the past it often felt like someone was watching me. It always left me feeling a little uneasy, but this night was different. I still felt like someone was watching me, but it was the most amazing feeling in the world. Mom, the truth of the matter is, I knew someone was watching me. I knew that God was walking with me, and I knew that I was walking with God. I knew that night, and I have known every night since, that God has chosen me for a purpose and a plan that will change the world. What I'm about to tell you, Mom, may shock you as much as anything else I say to you in this letter. I sang to God. Yes, me singing, if you can imagine that. I couldn't contain my joy. I told him that I would take Mary as my wife and that I would care for her. I told him I would watch over her and the child, no matter what anyone said. I got back home just as the sun began to creep over Mount Moriah. I don't know if you still recall that morning, Mom, but I can see it in my mind's eye as if it were yesterday. You were feeding the chickens and totally surprised to see me out, remember? Sit down, I said to you. I've got to tell you something. I took your arm and helped you find a seat on the big rock out back, do you remember? Mom, I said, I'm going to bring Mary home as my wife. Can you help me make a place for her things? You were silent for a long time before you said, you do know what you're saying, don't you, son? Yes, Mom, I know, I replied. Your voice started to rise, and you said, if your father was still alive, he'd have some words, I'll tell you. Going about like that before you're married, disgracing the family. You and Mary ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You'd never have believed me if I'd tried to explain, so I didn't even try. Unless the angel had spoken to you like he did to me, you'd have laughed me to scorn. Mom, please trust me. This is the right thing to do, I said. And then I started talking to you as if I were the head of the house. I had never spoken to you that way before. I said, Mom, when I bring Mary home, I don't want one word from you to her about it. She's your daughter-in-law, and you will respect her. She'll need your help if she's to bear up under the neighbors' wagging tongues. You started to get up and walk off in a huff. Do you remember? Mom, I murmured, I need you. You took my hand and I pulled you to your feet, but the fire was now gone from your eyes. The disgust, the disdain, and the anger had left. I knew at that moment that I had your support. You can count on me, Joseph, you told me with a long hug. And I know you meant it. I never heard another word from you about it. No bride could have ever hoped for a better mother-in-law than you were to her those next few months. Mom, after I left you, I went up the road to Mary's family's house. I knocked on their front door, and the only thing worse than the glare of her mother was the harsh tone that she used when she called for Mary by screaming, "It's that Joseph," almost spitting out my name as she said it. My heart broke for Mary as she came out to greet me. It was as if she expected me to give her the back of my hand. Her eyes were red and her cheeks were puffy from all the weeping she had done. I can't even begin to imagine the pain and loneliness she must have felt. Not only had I rejected her, but clearly her parents had too. I took her hand and we walked a few steps from the house. She looked so young and afraid. And I took her face in my hands and I asked her to look at me and I said, "Pack your things, Mary. I'm taking you home to be my wife." "Joseph? Joseph?" Her response was a strange blend of a question and an exclamation. She hugged me as tight as she could. Mama, I didn't realize she was so strong. I told her what I'd been planning. And I said, we'll go to Rabbi Ben-Ezer's house this week and have him perform the ceremony. I know it was awfully sudden, Mom, but I figured the sooner we got married, the better it would be for her, for me, and for the baby. I told her, Mary, even if our friends don't come, at least you and I can seal our pledge of love before God. I paused and told her, I think my mom will be there, and maybe your friend Rebecca would come if her dad will let her. How about your parents? I could feel Mary's tiny frame shaking as she sobbed quietly. Mary, I said, and I could feel myself speaking more boldly. No matter what anyone says about you or about us, I'm proud that you're going to be my wife, and I'm going to take good care of you. I've promised God that I would. She looked up, and I lowered my voice. And once again, I looked deep into her eyes, and I said, I had a dream last night, Mary. I saw an angel. I know what happened. He told me everything. The anguish that had gripped her face immediately vanished. She was radiant as we turned away from the house and began to walk up the hill together. Just then her mother ran out into the yard. Wait, she called. She must have been doing what mother-in-laws do. She was listening from behind the door. Tears were streaming down her cheeks. I'll get your father, she called, almost giddy with emotion. We, she cried, as she gathered her thoughts. We are going to have a wedding. That's how it was, Mom. I knew that I had to tell you everything. I hope you can believe all of this. Please know that Mary and I love you very much. Thanks for believing this unbelievable story. I'll write to you again soon. Do we really, really, really understand what it means to be chosen and highly favored? Do we really understand that this day that we celebrate is Christmas? See, we don't give gifts. We exchange gifts. And if the truth of the matter were really known to our conscious thinking, we wouldn't give gifts too many times to a person who never gave one back. We might do it once, we might do it twice, but there come a point where we say, you know what, I'm just not going to keep giving anymore. But God didn't exchange the gift of His Son with us. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son knowing that His Son was going to die. He gave His Son knowing that He was going to die for a people that hated Him. Jesus, while we were yet sinners, died for us. Do we really, 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 really understand what Christmas is all about? Christmas is a season of sacrifice. It's a season of cost. And to my ongoing stunned amazement, I'm reminded one more time that God the Father, this baby Jesus that we celebrate now, His Son seated at His right hand, looked down at us can just imagine Jesus looking to his left up at his father and he's saying, Dad, it was worth it. Do you understand that? Father and the Son seated in heaven and the Holy Spirit right here communicating to one another and communicating to us. You were worth it.